You are now tuned in to the Nancy Ruffin Show.
Welcome back to another episode of the Nancy Ruffin Show. I am your girl, Nancy Ruffin, and I'm just so excited to be back for another week. I'm excited to have you join me. I recognize that there's so much going on in the world. There's so many other podcasts that you could be listening to, and yet you are here with me. And so I just want you to know that I'm just incredibly grateful to have you here and to have you as a loyal listener, someone who keeps coming back week after week because you find value in what is being shared on here. And so I just want to express my gratitude for that. And I'm just really excited about this season that we're in, like literally and figuratively. I absolutely love the spring just because of what it signifies. It's a time of rebirth. We see Mother Nature come back to life again. We see the leaves come back on, you know, grow back on the trees, and the beautiful flowers begin to sprout through the ground. And it's also a reminder of Jesus's resurrection. You know, we just celebrated Easter a few weeks ago. And so the spring just has a lot of meaning for me, and I absolutely love it. A couple of weeks ago, I actually went to Home Depot with the family, and, you know, I do not have a green thumb, like, by any means. And I remember when my husband and I first purchased our home, like, I really wanted to become domesticated, and I wanted to, you know, plant a garden and all that good stuff. And the first time that I attempted to plant was like years ago. We've been here in this house since 2008. So we're going on 13 years in August. So 13 years ago, I attempted to plant. And my goodness, those poor plants like didn't even survive a week. They died, you know. And so I was so discouraged by that, that I had never attempted to plant again, you know. And then I see like my good friend Maria, like she's always sharing like her beautiful garden, the things that she's planting in her home, her beautiful plants within her home. And I love, you know, I love plants and I love flowers. Like I buy flowers every week because I feel like they just give life to the space. And so, you know, planting is something that I've always wanted to do, but I haven't been very good at it. So anyway, I say all that to say that a couple of weeks ago, we took a trip, you know, to Home Depot. And I told my husband, I was like, you know what, I'm going to give this another shot. And so I bought, you know, a couple of like tulips that had already been kind of, their bulbs had been planted like in soil. The flowers themselves haven't grown or sprouted out or any of that. But I figured, you know what, let me buy a couple of these. Let me go and plant them in my backyard and let's see what happens. And I am so excited to say that the flowers are actually growing. So I feel really, really good about that. Just because, you know, it does something to your spirit, right? When you attempt to try something for a second time that you weren't necessarily good at the first time. And then when you see that with just a little tenderness, a little care, this time I actually went on YouTube and I did a little bit of research on, you know, like how I should be planting it and what kind of soil I need to have, you know. And so when you do that, when you put a little bit more effort into the thing that you want to do, then the outcome, you know, is positive. And so for me, like the flowers are growing, the tulips are growing, and it was just like the boost that I needed to my confidence to say, you know what, this is something that I can do. I can continue to plant in this way. And so I wanted to just kind of share that analogy, because how often in our own lives, you know, do we get this desire in our heart to do something, but because we don't know how to do it, or we don't have the skills, or we don't have the initial knowledge,
We don't even attempt, right? And then even if we do attempt it, if we fail the first time, we allow that one failure to completely knock us down and out. And then we don't ever attempt it again, not realizing that, the only way we're ever going to be good at anything or even be great at something is by continuously trying, right? And continuously getting back up and not allowing the one defeat to keep us defeated. And so for this week, I actually wanted to talk a little bit about that for a number of reasons, because I don't know if you are aware, but I had co-led this Bible study group as a part of my church, and it went on for 10 weeks. And I remember when I first got the call, like the literal phone call from my co-leader who was asking me if this was something that I would be interested in doing, my initial response was no. Like, there's no way I could possibly lead anyone in any Bible study group because I just did not feel qualified enough. I didn't feel like I was capable. I didn't feel like I knew enough about the Bible to help someone else on their journey. And so I started immediately defeating myself without even trying, without even going for it. So this week, I want to talk about that because I feel like so often in our lives, we talk ourselves out of the things that God is calling us to do. And so when we come back, that's what I'm going to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk about my Foundations of Faith group, about the incredible bonds and relationships that were formed because I answered the call, because I took a chance on myself, because I allowed God to lead me where He wanted me, even though I didn't feel qualified. I want to talk about our ability to trust in the plans that God has for us and the calling, those things that we feel connected to in our hearts to do, but for whatever reason, we don't follow through on it. Like, I want to talk about all of this because this is the season, y'all. This is the season of rebirth. And so whatever it is that God has been calling you to do and you've been avoiding, like, this is the season to answer the call. So when we come back, we're going to get into this conversation, and I hope that you are ready because I am not going to allow you to deny that desire in your heart of the thing that has been calling you and you've been avoiding. So I'm going to break for a moment because I'll got to get these sponsors out there. But when we come back, we're going to get right into this conversation.
Are you tuned in? Because I am. It's the Nancy Ruffin Show.
Welcome back. So before we get into this week's topic, I wanted to just let you guys know about this show that I've been watching. It is streaming on YouTube, and they also have an app specifically for the show where you can download the app and you can watch all of the episodes so far. Season 2 just started, and it's up to episode 3. But this show that I've been watching called The Chosen is so, so good. It's a story about Jesus. It incorporates stories directly from the Bible. And for me, it has been such a blessing because for the past year or so, I guess ever since like the beginning of the pandemic, I have really committed to getting into the Bible and to reading scripture, and not just reading it, but really reading it and understanding it, trying to decipher the message in the Bible, what Jesus is trying to say to me, how He's speaking to me through His word, and how to learn to apply the scripture in my day-to-day life. And so this show, because it's pulling directly from the stories of scripture and then adding a creative component to it, where we kind of get to see a little bit of the backstory of the characters, it has just completely pulled me in. And it's probably one of the best shows that I'm watching right now. And so I just wanted to share that with you, because if you're someone who enjoys Bible stories and scripture, then the show is going to give you even more context. And for me, it's been really exciting, because since I've been studying the Bible, like I find myself even reciting scripture as the actors in the movie, you know, are telling their stories. And it's just been a really good way. It's been a good supplement, I should say, for my daily Bible study and my daily Bible readings. So if this is something that interests you, definitely go check it out. You can watch it for free on YouTube, and you can also download the app for free. So, I mean, I know that there are some people who don't really like to download apps on their phone. So if that's you, just head over to YouTube, search The Chosen, and you can watch, I think, every episode through season 2 up to episode 3. That's the last episode that they've released. And I think I think they release new episodes every Tuesday. But don't quote me on that. But yeah, definitely a good show. So this week I wanted to talk about, the impact that my Bible study group, the Foundations of Faith, has had on me in this season. Because as I mentioned in the opening segment, when my co-leader Aisha called me to ask me if leading a Connect group would be something that I'd be interested in, I immediately was like, there's no way I can lead a group. But the funny thing about that reaction or that response from me, it was strange to me, because up until that point, like in my mind, I had been saying to myself, and I guess probably saying it to God, that I wanted to, that I wanted to be more vocal about God's word. And I wanted to use my platform in a way that would allow me to bring people closer to God, you know. And so when I received the call, I can now recognize that it was God kind of answering my prayer. But I was also so afraid of stepping into that because I didn't feel qualified enough, you know. And I think that we do this to ourselves so often, where we may have certain dreams and certain desires, and because of maybe who we were in the past or past experiences or whatever excuse we start telling ourselves, right, we immediately become our own biggest obstacle to doing the things that we want to do or really following our dreams. And it's so, I guess, counter to who I am and what I'm always kind of talking about, right? I'm always talking about going after our dreams and setting these goals and then doing whatever is necessary to accomplish them. And I guess for me, I felt like I don't know what I believed, honestly, but I know that I didn't feel that I knew enough about the Bible to lead anyone in scripture or to study it or any of that stuff. And I remember like the first week that we started, once Aisha and I had talked about the format of each meeting, what we wanted each meeting to be like, you know, we created like an outline. We decided that every week we would bless the space with an opening prayer, and I would lead the opening prayer, and she would lead the closing prayer. And so I was really, afraid to pray in front of other women, you know. And I think that this is true for so many of us. We never know what the right way to pray is, right? But kind of like I tell others, like prayer is just having a conversation with God. But sometimes I can recognize that that conversation can be embarrassing, right? When we're saying it out loud and when we're allowing others to see how we pray. So that very first meeting, I was so scared to lead the prayer and scared of not saying the right thing or messing it up in some way that I actually wrote the prayer down and I just kind of read it. And then I guess what started happening week after week, I started gaining more confidence in myself as a leader of this group, as someone who has put in the time to really read the Bible and understand it and apply it in my own life. And so every week as I started to show up, I found that I was becoming stronger in how I would show up for the group. And I was becoming more confident in my own abilities to lead the prayer. So what started happening was that I no longer needed to write out my prayers. I would step in every single week into this meeting and the words would just come. And it's crazy how that happens, because so often we hear, right, just show up, trust, you know, believe in yourself, believe that God is going to lead the way, believe that God is going to guide you, that he's going to give you the words. And the moment that you start to believe, that is the moment that it happens. Because every week after the first week, I showed up and the words just came to me. The prayers just came. And I know unequivocally that it was God who was speaking through me to bless the space, to tell these women whatever it was that they needed to hear that week. And it became easier. And so by the end of the 10th week, it was so bittersweet, because I not only grew in my understanding of the Bible, because what happens is when you're studying the Bible within a group in that way, you get to see so many different not interpretations, but revelations from scripture, right? And so my sisters in Christ in this group always were showing me something new that I hadn't seen when I read the scripture. So not only did I grow in understanding scripture and understanding the Bible, but I also grew in my own leadership abilities. You know, when we first started, what I thought I would never be able to do, I started to grow into doing. And it started to feel natural to me. And it started to feel like I was stepping into this greater calling for my life. And as I'm saying it right now, I'm starting to feel chills in my body. My voice is shaking because I almost feel like this is what God has been preparing me for my whole entire life. And so often we fight against our own desires, against our own dreams. We talk ourselves out of the dreams because we don't feel like we're prepared. We don't feel like we're qualified. But what happens is that God qualifies us. God prepares us. And so when I think about everything that I've done in the public speaking forum, from my poetry, from my public speaking events, my motivational speaking events, every time I've been called to be a keynote speaker, the workshops that I facilitate, that I lead, all of that was preparing me to lead this group of women. And I don't know if my ultimate calling is in ministry, but oh my God, I tell you that it feels like it is, because my heart at this moment, as I'm talking about it, is so full of joy. I feel so passionate about it. I feel like I just want to tell everybody about the power of God and his grace and his love and his mercy, even when we feel at our lowest, even when we feel that he's abandoned us, that he doesn't know our pain. He knows our pain. You know, in the last meeting that we had on the Foundations of Faith, one of our members recently lost her mom. And, you know, she was talking about the just incredible pain that she feels in her heart for the loss. But she's still able to find the meaning behind it and the peace behind it. And there were so many women in the group who have lost parents You know, and I think that the loss of a parent and the loss of a child is the greatest pain any human person can ever experience. And when that happens, it's really easy to feel like God is like forsaking us, right? Because all we want is for that pain to go away and to be removed and to be alleviated. And so one of the things that I shared with the group is that when we look at scripture, when we look at the story of Lazarus, and how Jesus brought him back from the dead, like he didn't even do it immediately, right? Like Jesus was somewhere else, you know, he was a few miles away, but it took him, I think, 2 or 3 days before he even went to see Lazarus, right? He knew that Lazarus was dying. He knew that Lazarus was sick, but there was no urgency for him to get to where Lazarus was, right? And that was really intentional because Jesus was going to use that. He was going to use the miracle of bringing Lazarus back to life as a way to exalt his father and to give the glory to God so that we could see the power that God has, right? He brings dead things back to life. But in that story, there is a sentence that tells us that Jesus wept. He wept because Lazarus's sisters were so heartbroken and they were telling Jesus, Lord, if only you had come in time, you could have saved him, you know? And so Jesus was not immune to pain and hurt and sadness and all of the things that we experience as humans. He was a human, he was a man. And so he felt what we felt. And so it's important to remember that God is always experiencing everything that we experience in our lives. So even when we feel like we're being forsaken or we feel like we're being forgotten, God doesn't forget us. God knows exactly what we need when we need it, right? But he gives it to us when it's time, just like he brought Lazarus back to life, not when Lazarus's sisters wanted, but when Jesus saw that the timing was right and he needed to do that so that the world could believe in who he was and that he was sent from God to bring all of us back to him. And so I say all that to say that even in my own moments of self-doubt, even at the lowest points in my life, God has always revealed himself to me. God has never left my side. And it's because of that I feel called to, I don't even dare to say the word ministry, because I even thinking it, I don't feel like I'm qualified enough. But I feel like that is what I'm being called to do. And had I not answered that call from Aisha encouraging me, you know, to do this because she saw something in me, right? God was using her to speak life into me. And this is what happens more often than not. God sends people into our lives to give us messages, right? Because for whatever reason, we have talked ourselves out of the desire that we know is in our hearts, right? So because we're talking ourselves out of the dream that we have, God is going to send people into our lives to affirm or to confirm that desire that we have. And he's done it in my life so many times. And even as we ended the group on Friday, you know, one of the women, Angie, I love you. I love you for what you said in the group. And she just kept telling me how she saw this vision of who I was even before I even got baptized, how she saw me being this woman of God before I had even been saved. I mean, and if that is not a revelation, if that's not a word directly from God, I don't know what is. And I feel like I keep fighting against what I'm being called to do because I keep focusing my attention on other things when what I really think God wants me to do is this. And I don't know, I think I'm talking to myself in this podcast. And of course, this message is for you too, because I wholly believe that the messages that are for us, we receive exactly when we need them. But we have to stop getting out of our heads and stop believing that our old self is real. Stop allowing who we were to influence who, or not to influence, but to stop us from who we are destined to become. Because who you are today is not who you were at birth. It's not who you were at 5 years old. It's not even who you were yesterday. And now all of those parts of you, all of those different versions of you were necessary for you to become who you are today, but they're not who you are today. And so you can't continue to live your life based on who you were. You have to start living your life on who God wants you to become. You have to start living your life based on the promise that God has made from your life from the moment that you were conceived, from the moment that you were just a thought, a single cell. God had already ordained you, ordained your life. He put his stamp on you. And so we have to get out of talking ourselves out of who we're supposed to be because of who we were, because who you were is not who you're going to be. We can't automatically act on old thoughts and reactions. Don't put limits on yourself because of whatever your past revealed about who you were, right? Because whatever trial that you experienced in the past, is preventing you from being who you're supposed to be. The trial was necessary, but you know what? It does not have to define you. And who we are is not defined by the trial, but by how we overcome that. We are overcomers. That is who Jesus has told us. He gave his life for us because he knew that on our own, we would never be able to overcome. But with him, we can and we will and we will do so. So I don't know what it is that God is calling you to do in this season of your life, but it is your responsibility to answer the call. And just like Aisha called me, I am calling you right in this moment. I'm challenging you to look at your heart, to look at what God has placed in your heart, the thing that you are doubtful about, the thing that scares you, the thing that you keep telling yourself you're not prepared for, that you're not good enough for, that you're not qualified because you don't have enough training. You don't have the degree, you don't have the background, you don't have the experience. Like whatever it is that you keep telling yourself, I am challenging you to let go of those thoughts. Stop defeating yourself. Stop speaking words of defeat into who you are. And you have to start stepping into who God created you to be. And know that if God placed the desire in your heart, he will also equip you with what you need to be effective in that role, in that calling. But he can't do it if you're not willing to answer the call. You have to answer the call. And you have to change what you are putting in your mind. Because your brain and your mind, they're a womb. They're an incubator. And so what you allow to germinate in your mind will grow based on what you are reading, on what you are watching, on who you're surrounding yourself with. Be mindful of what you're internalizing. If you have people in your circle that are chaotic, that are negative, that are always looking like the world is against them, you need to remove yourself from that environment because you're not going to thrive if that's what you're around. You have to get yourself around like-minded people, people who have vision, people who will speak life into you, people who will see what is possible for your own life even when you don't see it. Be intentional with your life, with the people you surround yourself with the things you do every single day. Wake up and have this attitude of victory, of success, that even when you get knocked down, you can recognize that being knocked down doesn't mean you have to stay down. That just because you fail one time doesn't mean that you're a failure. That you can take that lesson and apply it so that you can become victorious the next time. How are you living your life? I challenge you to look at yourself. Look at what you're reading. Look at what you're watching. What's the music you're listening to? What are the podcasts you're listening to? Who are you following on social media? I had to, you know, I was following this gossip site the other day. And then she posted something that was about proving, proving something bad about someone else. And for a moment I stopped and I was like, why am I looking at this? Why am I even entertaining gossip? When what we should be doing is lifting each other up instead of tearing each other down. And so I unfollowed that person. And that's what I started doing. I looked at, you know, everyone that was popping up on my newsfeed. And if it wasn't someone who was inspiring me, who was making me laugh, or wasn't sharing anything positive, I unfollowed. Because what we take in, whether you recognize it or not, will germinate in our mind. And it will bear fruit to something that is not productive. And you have to be conscious of that. You have to be conscious of what you are internalizing, even subconsciously. And remember, you create your reality. You're responsible for your own life. No one can force you to do anything that you don't want to do. That is one of the gifts that the Lord has given us. He has given us the choice of free will. So at any moment, you can choose what you want your life to be. And so that is where I'm going to leave you this week. And I apologize if I preached a little bit, but it was what was in my heart. It was what God was calling me to say this week on this podcast. And if this episode has blessed you in any way, then please share it. You never know who needs to hear this message. And I promise you, this message wasn't even from me, because the things that I said were not even things I planned to say. But every episode, every time I step out in front of a crowd, whether it's through the podcast or whether it's in person, I'm always asking God to give me the words. Give me the words, Lord. Give me the message that you want this audience to receive. And today, this was it. So if you know anyone that will be blessed by this, share it with them. Have a conversation about them. If it's blessed you, reach out to me. Let me know how it blessed you. Leave a comment. Leave a rating. But, you know, just let me know that what I'm doing has value for you, because you are the reason that I do this. And so thank you again for being a listener. Thank you for being here. And until next time, go out there, crush your goals, be intentional about what you want in your life. Constantly pour into yourself. You are doing a disservice to yourself if you are not investing in your own development. To believe that you are the best you will ever be and that there is an opportunity for improvement is the surest way to keep yourself stuck and stagnant. You should always be looking to improve yourself, to gain deeper knowledge about the world, about yourself, and about how you function within it. So till next time, have a blessed week, and I will see you here next week, same time, same place.
Thank you for listening to the Nancy Ruffin Show.